So, you shall not murder. Love your neighbour as yourself. Actually, this was, bearing in mind what happened in London Bridge this morning with that horrible incident, the terrorist incident with probably six people being killed. It's a weird one when you get a talk to do that sort of fits in with something that's been happening as well. And we'll be thinking about that in our prayers. I know from someone in the church, they had one of their family members in London last night, and fortunately that person sent a text to say, you know, it's fine, I'm okay. But, you know, imagine what was been going through people's minds with what happened in London. So we'll think about that a little bit later, but also we'll think about that in our talk this morning. Well, we're going to think about how, about this commandment, you shall not commit murder. And with that toothpaste game, if you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, you get toothpaste out of it. I mean, that's fairly obvious. Toothpaste comes out of a toothpaste tube. If we were to squeeze ourselves, look deep into ourselves, look deep down at our own ambitions, what comes out of our heart, I wonder what would come out of it. Would it be something born out of love or something born out of selfish desires? That's where we're going to be going with this talk this morning. The sixth commandment is actually one of the shortest verses in the Old Testament. It simply says, thou shalt not murder, you shall not murder. The word raksa, which is the Hebrew word, is actually translated properly as murder rather than kill, which you do find in one or two versions. But actually it's used 46 times in the Old Testament. And each time this usage has a sense of willful hurtfulness, of vengeance, of murder, of mayhem to those around us. This sixth commandment is about not taking away someone's life. But it's a bit more complicated than that as well, because it has many ramifications. And if you read Leviticus 19, you can see how that expands on the law. Do not hate, we're told. Do not slander. Do not endanger your neighbour's life. And if that's the Old Testament expansion of the law, this becomes even more intensified in the New Testament. And the grand expansion of this, as indeed of all the Ten Commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself, which is what we did in that memory verse as well. That's the fullness of this command, love your neighbour as yourself. And in the Sermon on the Mount, which Aurelia read from Matthew 5, Jesus decides to take this law and expand it even more for our help. We hear his expansion in Matthew 5:21. You've heard it said long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgments. And of course, we might think that's a law that I've not broken, that's a law I never will break, I haven't murdered. But maybe we've crossed this law in other ways, because the Sermon on the Mount expands it even more. I tell you that anyone who is angry with his sister or brother will be subject to judgment. Notice that Jesus brings in remembering the law. We remember creation, we remember distortion, and now we see the distortion that the law needs to answer. Be reconciled to your sister or brother, then make your offering and give your gift. That's what Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Apostle Paul does the same thing in Romans 12. He picks up this sermon to help us understand a little bit more. Jesus said, if someone strikes you on one cheek, hold your ground, do it with style, turn the other cheek. In Romans 12:14, Paul tells us to bless those who persecute us, bless and don't curse. Paul is recognizing a kind of vicious circle that happens with cursing and with anger. And he says we have to break this vicious circle by blessing and not cursing, kind of a countercultural thing to do. And Paul endeavours to work on the source of the anger, the source of the wrath. If someone is starved, maybe starved emotionally, looking for new food, give it to them. He quotes Proverbs, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Lots of people see this as a negative, but actually what it means, not fire to harm, but fire to break through shells, fire to warm, fire to give hope. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what Paul's telling us. That's what Jesus is telling us. That's where this law is leading to us. let no debt continue to be outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For those who love his fellow human has fulfilled the law. All of these commandments, the commandments from 5 to 10 about not killing, not committing adultery, not stealing, are fulfilled by love. All the commands, indeed, are fulfilled by love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Love your neighbour as yourself. Because love does no wrong to a neighbour. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Doing wrong to the neighbour is what this sixth commandment really means. It's not just murder. It's willful wickedness. It's crossing over the neighbour's rights, the neighbour's life. So it's not a simple command, because it touches many issues. And Jesus understood how this command went in many directions. And he gives us a strategy of hope and reconciliation, and a strategy that really fits in well with today, today being Pentecost. It's a tragedy that the sixth commandment is there, because it admits that people do harm each other. God's creation wasn't meant to go that way. But Jesus isn't satisfied to show us the limits of harm. He shows us a way to go forward. And there's three principles I'd like to share with you that help us to understand this a little bit more. The first is, we don't do harm to those around us. That's fairly straightforward. The commandment takes away from us the right of private vengeance. Perhaps that's a bit more difficult when we've had something like London Bridge or Manchester. But it's an obvious interpretation of this commandment and how it's expanded in Leviticus. The Jews understood, if something wrong happened to you, you don't take the law into your own hands. You don't take vengeance. You allow systems to do that. And of course, God has the ultimate judgment in all cases. It's not our case to judge. The second of this principle is a command of restraint. Restraint for individuals places restraint on the community. The community acts under restraint. And it's one of the principles of Moses' law. In Deuteronomy 17, cases of murder have to go through trials and hearings and witnesses, similar to they do today. The community refers to another community through various orders of society. And the third principle is really the most exciting. This is the one I hope we can go away with today. We are valued by God. This is a principle of love. God values you and me. God created us. We're wonderfully made, Scripture tells us. But this means God values our neighbours as well. God values each person as individuals. And if God values us, we value each other. Love your neighbour as yourself. And the great news is that God works through people like us. God works through people who make mistakes. God worked through Moses, through David, through Paul. They're people who made some really big mistakes, but look how amazingly God used them. God works through us, no matter what we've done in the past, as long as we come to him in repentance and look to follow him in our lives. And didn't God give his own son to be killed, to be murdered, so we could have life? His death means that we can be transformed into people of love. So of course we don't commit murder. But we take this to mean to love our neighbour, to look to ways to share God's love so they can share eternal life with us. Today is Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Spirit on all people. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. Just think of how they stand against do not commit murder. But they're there as God's gift to us. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If we call out to God for his Spirit, that anger that can be inside of us, that wanting to do things that perhaps hurt other people, can be taken away by love, joy and peace. So as we celebrate Pentecost, as we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, we can take this command as an instruction on how God wants us to live. Do not commit murder. Love your neighbour as yourself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your commands. We thank you that they point us in the direction you want us to live. And we thank you that Jesus showed us the right way, the way of love, the way of loving our neighbour, of caring for each other. We pray our lives will be filled by your Spirit so we can show the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control, so that we can be the people that you want us to be.